Hello, you're listening to Contending for the Faith Internet Broadcast. I'm Mark Leffert from Pray and Go Gospel Proclamation Ministry. And today I want to play an interview for you that Ricky Gantz had done on G220 Radio. He had interviewed me last week, and I thought it might be helpful for you to hear it. So I was going to play that interview. On the interview, I give my testimony and talk about how I do evangelistic Bible studies and how we can teach people the gospel. And also on the interview, you'll hear we talk about the importance of prayer. And I think many times in evangelism, people want to do certain things but leave out the work that needs to be done in order that we might see men and women come to Christ. So without any further delay, I would like to play for you that interview.
And we are back with G220 Radio, and I want to bring on my guest, and we're going to get into talking with Mark Leffert. And so, Mark, welcome to the show, brother. Thanks for being with us here on G220 Radio tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's good to be with you tonight, Ricky.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on, brother. It's going to be a joy to hear your heart and share with us the things on your mind and some of the things that we talked about or that I mentioned that we will be talking about, things with Bible studies, prayer, and some of your blogs. So really looking forward to that tonight. If we could first go ahead and introduce yourself or let the listeners know a little bit about yourself, your testimony, a little bit of your background so they can get familiar with you if they are not already.
Sure, sure. Well, I was born actually into a Roman Catholic family, but my dad got born again when I was a child, and then I, you know, prayed to receive Jesus when I was 9 years old, and but then I prayed to receive him when I was 11, 13, 15, 17, and it never seemed to work, and so when I got into my 20s, I really started seeking the Lord in my mid-20s and fell into some sin, and the Lord drew me back to the Scripture, and as I started to read actually the book of Romans, God started to work in my heart, and when I was 28 years old, the Lord converted me and changed my life and gave me the Holy Spirit, and I was regenerated, and shortly after that, I was in Bible college and graduated Bible college when I was 32 years old, and I was involved then with an Arminian type of a church, and they actually ordained me, and I planted a church in Delaware County. And that was in 2005, actually. But then shortly after that, actually it was before that, while I was in Bible college, I started reading Reformed material from a place called Chapel Library. I started reading literature, and the Lord started to work in my heart at that time, and my theology took a pretty serious shift by God's grace, and I started to understand the doctrines of grace, and the as I started to preach them, though, I separated from that group that I was connected to, and then started to find out what the Lord wanted me to do, because I really didn't feel right just being an independent church. So we connected ourselves, and that church dissolved, that church plant work that I was working on for 6 years. And now I go to a church called Reformation Bible Church. And the Lord has always given me a heart and a passion for evangelism. And so as we've been going to Reformation Bible Church, year ago, actually March in 2014, I started this ministry called Pray and Go Gospel Proclamation Ministry. And what we do is we go and preach the gospel first, you know, on the streets and in many different formats and whatever avenue that the Lord would open up for us. On the streets, we do open-air preaching and one-on-one confrontations with people. And also, I've done a lot of door-to-door ministry, sharing the gospel that way, sharing the gospel through going to, I preach at a prison in a halfway house. I do some work there, preaching the gospel. And also at the University of Delaware, right now there's a group of us going there, so, and teaching a Bible study and doing street ministry there. So the Lord has led us to first do the work of an evangelist by going out and preaching the gospel. And also the Lord has led me and the couple guys that work with me to do training where we go to different people in their area. And it's interesting, though, a lot of people that contact me and want me to help them with evangelism are contacting me because their church is not going, sadly. And so we, in one sense, I feel I'm caught in a dilemma a little bit because we want to assist the church. I don't want to operate outside of the church because I see the church as God's institution. And however, if there's a church existing that's not going out and preaching the gospel, what are we to do but to go out and preach the gospel as the Lord Jesus has commanded us? It's not optional. I don't see it as an option to go and preach the gospel. So over the last 6 to 8 months, we've been doing training of other people to go out and share the gospel. This Friday night we'll be in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, with a couple people there who want us to come and help them doing some street evangelism. And also we've been doing this ministry at the University of Delaware for about 3 months. And what happened was, I can give a quick testimony, which kind of leads into the discipleship, which I think that's one thing you wanted to talk about tonight. Is that right, Ricky?
Yes, yes.
And when we talk about discipleship, though, what we mean, though, is actually teaching the gospel. And this has been a really effective way that the Lord has used me in sharing the gospel and in preaching the gospel. In that verse, that popular verse at the end of the book of Matthew, in the 28th chapter, the Lord Jesus says in verse 18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And in 19 he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things." So in verse 19 it says to teach, and then in verse 20 it says teaching them. So you have this teaching twice actually mentioned in these two verses. And what I believe is that first teaching, or the first teach there in verse 19, is referring to teaching them the gospel. And I really believe that this is what is needed. I think that open-air preaching is great, and we must do it. I think that one-on-one confrontations are absolutely necessary. And but what the Lord has been using me to do is to teach evangelistic Bible studies. And I've seen several people come to Christ through these Bible studies. It's the only way in my ministry where I've been able to see fruit. Now, I know that when we're on the streets and we're doing open-air preaching and confronting you may not see, because those people are hearing the gospel and through the power of the Holy Spirit, He's working in them, and some of them are getting converted, but we may not see it, and I understand that. But to really disciple people and see them actually come to Christ and then bear fruit has been in my ministry through teaching Bible studies. Just a couple quick testimonies. I met a woman, an 86-year-old woman. We were delivering food for Easter, it was, about 4 years ago, and we met this 86-year-old woman, and she asked us to come back to her house and teach a Bible study the next Saturday. So the next Saturday we came back, and she was there, and we taught the Bible study, and she asked us to come back again the next Saturday, and we did that subsequently for 2.5 years. And this woman was, actually, she had come out of the Seventh-day Adventist movement, and she was not converted. She believed that salvation was by faith plus works. Anyways, it took a year and a half of teaching every Saturday until she had a profession of Christ and Christ alone. And it was a beautiful thing to see this lady in her late 80s come to Christ. And she used to say, "Jesus Christ is my righteousness." She loved to say that and had a beautiful testimony. And she died about just 6 months ago and went to be with the Lord. And what a precious thing. And then at her funeral, I had the opportunity. She wanted me to preach at her funeral. And I preached to about 60 of her family members and friends at the funeral. And it was a blessed time to preach the gospel to them. And more blessed to see her. When you see that, it just makes all the work that you've done through the years worth it and propels you to go on. And interesting enough, her funeral was just in October. The day after that was the day we went to the University of Delaware, and we met this young man. His name is Ryan, actually, and we met him at night, and he said, "I've been reading the Bible for about 2 months," he said. And he said, "I don't even know why I've been reading it, other than the fact that I feel uncertain about my life, and I don't know what's going to happen, so I started reading the Bible." And he grew up, actually, Catholic. And so he said he wanted to study the Bible with us. So the next week, we started in Romans chapter 1. And we've been going every week since then for the last 3 or 4 months. And he just made a profession about 2 weeks ago. And now he's showing fruit. He's sharing the gospel with some of his family members. And actually this Saturday, he's planning to come out with us on the streets to evangelize for the first time. And he's been talking about the last couple of weeks, how he's been working on dealing with sin that's in his life. And it's just amazing to see. Not only does he have a profession that his faith is in Christ alone, but also he has some fruit that he's showing with it, which is a great blessing. And so, but that took, 3 to 4 months meeting with him every week for an hour to just teach verse by verse going through the book of Romans. And praise the Lord that he has come to Christ. And boy, it really seems to be real. And there's a couple other testimonies I can give that have happened over the last few years in similar cases. And I think when we're talking about discipleship, I'm talking about discipling people to Christ, discipling them to see them truly come to Christ, and not just, say words and make some kind of profession that they've been manipulated into making, but through teaching them the John verse by verse, and then to hear them tell you that they're saved, not us telling them. And so thank the Lord Jesus that he has done this work in these people's hearts through teaching the gospel. And I think particularly in our context in America, with so many people that have been entrenched in false religion, and even more than that, in this modern worldview and ideology that is just indoctrinating people with false teaching, we need to train people and teach them. As Martin Luther said, that you have to pound the gospel into their heads, and just week after week of teaching the gospel to the same people has been effective, and to the glory of Christ, we've seen salvation of souls. And you know, Ricky, I started this. I started teaching the gospel when my children, who are now 22 and 24, when they were in their early teens, I think they were like about 10 and 12 years old, even preteen, there was a group of children in the neighborhood that were their same age that would come to our house to play and do different things. And we started a Bible study. And this is how I started teaching the gospel. We started a Bible study with these children and started teaching every Tuesday night. And I remember I taught through the book of Galatians, and that Bible study ended. We moved, actually. And then several years later, I ran into one of the children, one of the kids who used to come to that Bible study. This was probably 5 or 6 years after the Bible study had ended. And he got born again. And today he's in a church, and actually I'm still in contact with him. And he wasn't born again when we were teaching the Bible study. He made no profession. Actually, he was a very troubled child. And he gave me his testimony, and he said it was the time that I sat down and really confronted him with the gospel. And through coming to those Bible studies, the Lord used that and saved him. And today he's active in the church, and I'm still in contact with him. So that's how this whole thing started, with teaching the gospel to the people.
Yeah, praise the Lord, brother. You are definitely a very busy man with a lot of that stuff going on. Like you said, open-air preaching one-to-one, and you did door-to-door, prison ministries, halfway houses, going to the University of Delaware. I mean, just very busy. But I want to stay on that last point that you mentioned about the Bible studies and troubled this man, or this young guy was a troubled youth. Because I was just in a service this last weekend, and an evening service, and one of the things that they were praying for was how to deal with some of these younger kids that come in these from these broken homes, and young children who are basically troubled, grow up, like I said, either in a broken home family or one parent raised by the mother, or in a bad neighborhood, or things like that. And I think what you were saying there, speaking the truth to them, is really what we need to do. You know, when we come across it, just really speaking the truth. So if you could just speak that a little bit more, that would be, I know, helpful maybe to some of the listeners in how to deal with a troubled youth.
Yeah, well, I have another testimony in the halfway house in the drug and alcohol rehab program, where I teach on Tuesday mornings. About, I guess about 14 months ago, there was a young man who came into the program. He was 20 years old and very rebellious, and he used to go around in the other guys in the program and start rumors about me. And sometimes during the class, even, he would speak out and kind of heckle me to some degree. And actually, the Lord saved him about 2 months later. actually his name is Ryan also, and he got converted, and today he's seeking to go to Bible school. He's been out evangelizing with us several times. He studies the Bible every day. Me and a friend were just visiting him, and my friend said was so surprised that he's only been saved a year because he had such a good knowledge of the Scripture. And I said, no, he's only been saved a year, and he had no exposure to the Bible before that. He did not study the Bible before he got saved at all, and it's all been just in the last year that he has been daily studying the Bible. So, and that came through teaching the gospel. When I teach there, it's called City Team Ministries in Chester, Pennsylvania, that class, it's just all gospel. The name of the class that I teach there is called the Doctrines of Salvation. So it's just preaching the gospel. See, it's this idea, Ricky, that people have, that people need more than just salvation. You know, yeah, they're saved, but to really come out of this troubled situation, they need more than salvation. And, you know, it's like Paul Washer says, I just heard you mention him a few minutes ago. You know, he says, if I got hit by a logging truck, you know, you would see that it would make an effect on my life. He said, how much more of an effect is it going to make when the Holy Spirit or when God affects your life? And I'm paraphrasing him there. You probably heard him say that before.
Yeah.
But, and it's true. I mean, when the Lord Jesus Christ arrests your heart, it is no small thing. And the sad part is that we in the church, many of us have made it a small thing. And we think that these troubled youths and whatever the situation is where people are having problems, that, oh, they need more than salvation. You know, they've already been saved and they need something else. And I would say no. If someone is having a problem in a certain area that is causing them to live in a, you know, a consistent pattern of sin in their life, I would say, according to 1 John, they need to be saved. They need to be born again. And they don't understand their sinful condition, and they don't understand who Christ is and what he has done. Because when you come to the understanding of who you are in your sinfulness, and you come to the understanding of who Christ is and what he has done for us, that radically changes you. It's not, you're not just going to have a small shift in your life when that happens. But every part of your life is going to be affected. And sure, after someone gets born again, they're still going to, they could still have certain problems or may even fall back into sin for a short period of time. But God is going to bring them out of that if they're truly born again. And what people need is the gospel and the thorough understanding and teaching of the gospel through Scripture. And when they're truly born again, their lives will be changed. I think of William Carey when he was instructing the missionaries that he was sending out, and he told them, don't confirm their salvation until they show the proper fruit of salvation. And it's so true. I think in us doing evangelism, we wanna quickly, you know, say, well, that person's saved. I think maybe because we want to see fruit, and it's good that we want to see fruit, but we need to be careful that we're not, you know, giving people a false confidence and instead right. of pushing them toward Christ.
Yeah, that's one of the...
And there is the first part of the interview, and on the next show, we will get to the second half of this interview. I wanted to play this for you because I think it gives you a good idea of the ministry that God has given me in sharing the gospel, and also in helping others share the gospel. So I'm involved in training with different individuals and at different churches, in teaching classes on how to evangelize, and then praying with people. I think it's important that we meet for prayer before we evangelize, and so I'll meet with people for prayer and teach, and then to actually go out and do it. And so if anybody who's listening to this would want to contact me, you can contact me by calling me. My phone number is 443-206-8346. Or you could go on to my website, sermonaudio.com/GMCPHILA, and you can contact me, and I'll do what I can to help you, because this is a serious time that we live in. We live in an evil day, but praise God that He still saves sinners, and we are still obligated to obedience to our Lord's great command to go and preach the gospel. So thank you for listening today, and come back next time and we'll have the second part of this interview. Until then, go and preach the gospel, and may God bless you.